One name would.
Rodgers gets the snap. Blitz is on. Rodgers.
One name would.
Winds up rainbow. He's got time at the 10 to the 5.
Yes.
To the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends.
Curry jump. Yeah.
He did it again.
Too much sport.
And throwing. And it is a fingertip. Catch for a touchdown.
Put your hands together for Who and Why.
Welcome to another episode of Woot and Why. I'm Josh Why. In today's episode, we're going through the combine, free agency, a few draft stuff. We're going to preview the NRL season, maybe talk some NRL fantasy. We had our draft the other night. But before I do that, I'll say hello to the other half, Josh Wooten.
Sup, guys?
How you going?
It's the NRL season's finally here.
Finally here. It's kicking off tonight. We are filming this on Thursday. It'll be up on the Friday, so have to bear in mind there. That we're predicting this before any sort of major injuries that might happen tonight.
Yep. We're not going to try to guess the future or anything.
No. But Roosters by 28 to 14.
Oh, I thought the margin was 28. No, yep. that would be some bold prediction.
That'd be crazy.
Speaking of bold predictions, I'm already one down.
Yeah, poor Leo struck out.
Poor guy. If you haven't seen the memes on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere on the internet.
Pinterest. Even Pinterest.
There's
a stack. So, I feel for you, Josh. I feel for Leo a bit.
Poor guy.
But a movie about AIDS sufferers and survivors or some sort of black liberation movie is always going to go down really well with the general public and the voters. But anyway, Leo, just keep making good films.
Bold prediction? Next year. Leo will win an Oscar.
For supporting.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. All right, well, NRL kicks off. Tonight, we've got the Roosters taking on the Bunnies, and it should be a good one. It's a rematch of last year. Mm-hmm. Roosters got the win there, the Bunnies got the win there, but the Roosters won the war end of the year.
Pretty much.
Yeah. How do you see the game going tonight?
I can't look past the Roosters. I mean, that's my tip for the comp again. Their defense, they're structured well. Yeah. And I mean, Jennings looks great, even though he played, Wigan just.
Yeah.
But he still looked awesome.
Yeah. Side note, World Club Challenge, it's a bit of a bust.
I know.
When the English team comes out here, it's just, I don't know. I know when we go over there, normally teams struggle. I think it's because of the travel, but when it's over here, it's not even a fair fight. No. If it keeps going that way, it's going to be a snore fest.
I don't really know why we still do it.
Yeah.
It's like.
The NRL is clearly a superior tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It has better players, better coaches. Yeah,
and we keep winning the World Cup.
Yeah,
so
all the time. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to predict our top eight for the season. We already predicted our premiers and Wooden Spooners and Dally M award winner in our last Crystal Ball episode.
Who do you think's going to be highest scorer? Highest point scorer.
I reckon James Maloney.
All right.
Or maybe Jamie Lyon.
We don't differ, so let's just move on.
We're supposed to debate, but anyway. All right, my top eight. I've got eight here. We're going to put this on our wager wall here and see who gets the most. Whoever gets the most wins. But if we have a tie, the order is sort of the count back here.
Yep.
So it's sort of like the back nine when you're playing golf.
Nice.
I've got the Roosters finishing first.
So do I.
I have Manly coming second.
Okay.
Do you have that as well?
I also do have that.
Okay, great. I have South finishing third.
Yep.
Okay, go on.
We should have checked this before we began the podcast.
I have Cowboys finishing fourth.
No, I have the Doggies.
You have the Dogs?
Yes.
I don't have them in my top eight at all.
Wow. Okay, well that's...
I think a big slide from the Dogs this year.
That's a bold prediction, maybe.
That is a very bold prediction. I have Melbourne fifth.
I have Cowboys fifth.
Cowboys fifth. I have Warriors sixth.
I have the Storm sixth.
Yep. Cronulla seventh.
We both have that.
Yep. And I have Penrith finishing eight.
Guys, before the podcast began, I had Parramatta just, but I couldn't do it. I had to scribble them out, and Warriors are my eighth.
Warriors, your eighth pick.
Yes.
Yep. How confident are you with your predictions there?
Top three, I'm pretty confident. I think it's out of them three, definitely.
There seems to be, I think, five teams that would shock me if they don't make the eight, and that would be the Roosters, Manly, Souths, Cowboys, and Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
The other three that I have, Warriors, Sharks, Penrith, like, would not surprise me if any of them finish as low as 14.
But then when you look at the Dogs and Penrith, do you see Penrith as being a much better team than the Dogs?
Yes, I do. I don't know why. I just think they have like the pieces in place there. Idris is there now. Seguiara is on fire. They have a really good, young, exciting team. I just think they're prime. I think they're ready.
It's ridiculous how Penrith can go from where they were.
Yeah.
All that controversy. Getting rid of Luke Lewis, etc. And now they're going
to
make the 8, apparently.
I have to give credit to Gus Gould. I can't stand him when he commentates the game.
I know.
But he has really just worked really
hard. I want to know how much of it is him.
Yeah.
He's the face of it.
He has a lot to do with it, I think.
I want to see.
Ivan Cleary is a very good coach.
Yeah, I know.
A very good coach. And his replacement in New Zealand, I really like him, Matthew Elliott. But he cops a lot of criticism.
Wherever he goes, it's always, you know.
It's always his fault. I don't understand. I think he's a great coach. Mm-hmm. And one of my favourite moments was his press conference at Penrith. Remember where he pulled the tie up?
Yeah.
Like he was hanging himself? Obviously, suicide isn't a joke, but he just sort of lightened the mood, and I just like his attitude. He's like very casual about his business, but he can knuckle down and get the job done. And I think the Warriors with Sam Tonkins.
Sam Tonkins at the back?
Good dark horse, I think.
I was looking at the starting lineup this week,
yep.
And then I was looking at the Auckland Nines,
yep.
And you know, it's like...
Totally different team.
Totally different team.
They have stacks of talent over there. It's crazy.
Fisiashi. Is that his
name? Yeah. He's on the wing. Yeah.
All right.
But he was...
Harrell's out though.
Yes, he is.
There's
a few surprises from round one. We'll go to fantasy now, may as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking lineups. A few cash cows in the old Supercoach. John Palevi.
Mm-hmm.
Named at lock. For the Warriors. I must admit, I've never heard of him.
See, but Warriors are always that team. Next week, he might not be playing.
It's quite tricky, but it's a few from... Even against the Eels, you got Manu Mayo and Ken Edwards.
Speaking of Manu Mayo, our mate Cameron picked him up in our fantasy league. High hopes.
He was... I read somewhere that he was in prison last year or some sort of... facility for
What the Eels need.
Yeah.
They are
a bit of criminals. He had to get a special permission to come over here and play football. Wow. And he actually was, he was very good in the Nines.
Mm-hmm.
And they surprised a few. Again, there's theories that with the Nines, you're sort of taking a top tier of your 25. Yeah. So it's a lot easier to get a full team in when you have Nines.
Yeah.
Compared to like 17. So we'll move on. But any more fantasy things? We had a draft. When was it? Tuesday night?
Yep, Tuesday night. So we were leaving it quite late. But then again, we wanted to know the lineups and things like that.
Yeah, we waited for the lineups.
I
had the first pick.
Yeah.
And it took me an hour to get the NRL fantasy website up.
Thanks, guys.
NRL.
I mean, it looks nice. Like, it looks good.
Yeah.
But then again, it's...
It's slow. It's hard to work out. If the NFL, fantasy, and NBA, and Middle League Baseball, or Major League Baseball in America can handle millions of people playing and drafting continuously, how can the NRL website struggle?
I know. And when it came to even just things like trading players, those lists weren't available until the time of this podcast.
Yeah, so and it's just a nightmare. It's not really helping because fantasy... is a way to get a lot of new fans into the game, get to recognise players. I must admit, when I was... I didn't start knowing all these players until I started playing fantasy.
Mm-hmm. And now, look, the Lord is getting into rugby league this year.
Yeah.
Trying.
He lasted about 3 rounds until a friend of ours took over for his team. So he resorted to the lounge room and was watching American Dad all night. So I think he's the real winner of draft night while we're trying to work out
website. His team looks good. His team is pretty solid.
It's pretty solid. With the first pick, I ended up taking Cameron Smith. Conversions, solid 80-minute player. You know what you're going to get out of him. No speculation over sort of Asada with like Paul Gallen and Fifita competing for minutes, and Corey Parker's switched to prop now.
I would have picked Smith too if I was in a position. So you're all right. When it came to mine, I was pick 4.
Yeah.
I was looking at the roster. I mean, the players available.
Yeah.
Even Gallen was still available.
Yes, he was.
But the elite hookers, there's not that many of them.
There's not that many.
So I went with Robbie Farah.
Yeah. The halfbacks were quite rare. They went quick too. Once your James Maloney, your Jonathan Thurston, Cherry Evans, Sean Johnson went.
Aiden Caesar,
that's five. It drops off completely. Mullen would have been up there, but he got injured.
Yep.
I picked him up probably around 11 or 12. I just stashed him on my bench there for the back end of the year. And if you leave it too late, you get stuck with, some Terry Campese's and some Corey Normans, and you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
So not that it's going to be... It's too late now to give anyone draft advice, but in terms of fantasy...
Actually, so the NRL website is kind of, you know, pushing people to start round four. We wanted to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
But round four is when the drafts are being done for. So you've still got time.
Still got time?
Yep.
So. Yeah. It's quite interesting, and it's the draft is better. You end up with different teams, so your finals doesn't have everyone with the same team. And
we're not saying Supercoach isn't fun.
Fun, but...
At the start, it's kind of, you know, who can get the most money generated. Yeah. That's kind of the best part, because when it comes to the end, everyone's got
the same team, basically, so... It's just a matter of saving your trades for injuries.
Mm-hmm. Which,
if you use them too quick, you get caught. I've done it a few times. I've been caught.
So. I don't think I've gone a season without using all my trades before the finals.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll move on now. We prefer to talk NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to talk NFL. We'll talk about the NFL Combine that just recently happened over at... my favourite stadium in America, Lucas Oil Stadium.
Who is your most impressed? Who impressed you the most?
Defensive tackle out of Pittsburgh.
Donald?
Aaron Donald. The guy is amazing. His speed was incredible. He's 285 pounds and he had a 4.65 in the 40-yard dash.
That's some fast.
Well, Johnny Manziel had, I think, 4.3 something. So... And he's a quarterback, so...
And that was fast.
Yeah.
That's fast.
That's crazy. So he's... And his speed at the start, like over 10 yards, was blistering. Like, he's so quick off the mark. And that's what you need from a defensive tackle.
I have... every time I look at the mock draft or something, I see Cowboys taking Donald. Which, you know, doesn't bode well for Philly. But then again, it kind of... They're looking at a safety in a corner too. Yeah. So hopefully they do take him so they slide to...
Yeah, slowed down. Yeah, well, I had him going to Chicago earlier. A lot earlier. I originally had Timmy Jernigan there, but I moved Donald there after that because of his great performance in the Senior Bowl and the Combine. Because, it's good to put up numbers in the Combine, but you need to back that up with tape. Game tape's the most important. And but they just signed Jay Ratliff today. From Dallas, so I'm not sure if that means they're going to address another position, maybe a safety or
even though we're doing mock drafts and things already, it's still too early.
Like it's way too early.
Free agency's coming up, and that will change the draft completely. So
completely, like there is already so many re-signings and franchise tags. Do you want me to go through those now? I put them up on the Facebook page. If you haven't liked us yet, please do. Woot NY, just search it. It should come up, number one. Even just Google it. It comes up with our Podbean page and iTunes and Twitter as well. So this was... When did I post this? On the 3rd of March, 3 days ago. So we had Philadelphia Eagles re-sign wide receivers Jeremy Maclin on a one-year deal worth a minimum of 3.5, maximum $6 million, and Riley Cooper to a five-year, $25 million deal.
Thoughts on that one? I like it.
I think that's great. The Eagles' offense was probably the best besides Denver last season.
Now, is it the best with Decker gone?
With Decker likely to go. You got the development of Zach Ertz, second year. Selleck's still a good tight end, reliable. Yeah. And now you have Maclin, who before the start of last season, I rated Maclin better than
Deshaun.
But Deshaun had a really good year last year, and Maclin obviously tore his ACL. So, but that's really good signings.
Yep.
It's really good from Chip Kelly, and you know Kelly's switched on now. He wants that offense.
The future of the offense looks good now. The O-line signed up. I mean, Nick Foles has a bit.
You look at that O-line, you got Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, Evan Mathis, Kels,
And Todd Herrmann's. It's good stuff.
And you have LeSean McCoy, Nick Foles, Deshaun Jackson, Macklin, Ertz. And they're all young guys. Most of them are young.
Yep.
Who would be the oldest?
It'd be Peters.
Yeah.
But then...
Evan Mathis is
about 30.
But still, that's still another... Like, for an lineman...
I know. They can...
That's... Yeah.
And they... The oldest guy is probably Avant, who they just cut.
Yeah.
They just freed up about three.
They'll focus defense on draft day.
But then again, it still wouldn't surprise me. They said Philly are drafting best player available. Their GM keeps saying that. So
BPA? If you keep seeing that around on sort of Bleacher Report articles and whatnot, BPA means...
best player available. Yep.
Yep.
If there's a wide receiver sitting there,
yeah,
I would not put it past them taking that because... Yeah. It's just, you know, who thought they were going to take Lane Johnson and then Zach Ertz last year? No one did. No one saw them taking a tight end second round.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's good signs for Philly, especially moving forward. And they have cap money. There's rumors today. Jarius Bird said that the Eagles are heading in the right direction.
I don't want him.
You don't want him?
He is a beast. He's the best safety on the market. I don't want to pay him what he wants.
Yeah.
TJ Ward is, you know, perfectly fine. He's a great fit. Hard hitter, but he's kind of like an extra lineman more than a coverage safety. So,
Plenty of good, a couple of good safeties in the draft that might fall for Philly. The next news, Carolina Panthers used the franchise tag on Greg Hardy. So, for all our Australian listeners, I got a question on the Facebook page from a guy called David Wise. He asked what the franchise tag was, and basically it's like a 1 year contract. Yeah. And every position has a set cap money. So wide receivers like worth like 11 million and a tight end's worth 5 million. And we're going to debate that later on. We're talking about Jimmy Graham. So basically it gives you a year to either work on a new deal or if someone's coming off like an injury or something like that, you can say, if you get through the year, we'll re-sign you.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to risk signing someone to a big deal and they're out injured for the rest of their career or something like that. So for Greg Hardy, I think it's more a, like, show us what you can do. Prove that you can monster up sacks again.
Yeah.
But then again, he has done it for two seasons. I think it's more about their cap situation. They're going to try and refinance some money because he said, I want to pay rise.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and then that's why you see so many kickers and punters franchise because... Teams don't want to get into a long-term deal with the kicker if they, you know...
Because kickers can... Like, look at Akers. He was a great kicker for many, many years, and then he had sort of...
2 years dropped off.
Just dropped off, and then he... Like, you're costing yourself money when you got to release a kicker or cut a kicker. It's not much, but...
It's money that you can save.
It's money you can save. And even though the salary cap got increased, which helped a lot of teams...
Incredible. Like, $133 million... $133 a year per team.
That's nuts. When you compare it to what is it?
Six something? Six
yeah, five yeah. million or something like that. It is ridiculous. All right, next news: Seattle Seahawks released Red Bryant and Sidney Rice, obviously to free up a lot of cap money. That would be addressed towards re-signing Michael Bennett,
which is smart. Another kind of deadwood.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Red Bryant is a good player and very underrated, I think. Mm-hmm. He's a big body, good nose tackle.
I want Philly to draft him. I think he's...
Pick him up, you mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, draft. You can draft him off the free agency.
I'll try to draft him.
Yeah.
Yeah, pick him up. I reckon that's a good...
They have a lot of defensive tackles in there and it gives Jesse Williams a shot, the Australian guy. A lot of people will be rooting for him.
That's...
Even though he got a Super Bowl ring for doing absolutely nothing.
How good is that?
Good gig. Wins two national championships and then gets a Super Bowl ring.
In his first year and doesn't play. Too easy.
Yeah, crazy. You know, some people just have it all. You know? New York Jets. This is probably huge news. New York Jets placed the franchise tag on kicker Nick Folk. So, Nick Folk's in for another year and our champion for our fantasy league will be happy because Nick Folk ended up being sort of a Folk hero.
He did. Week after week, just... Pumping out 20 points.
Every time he picked up a kicker, he did well, and Nick Folk delivered. So
who says the kicker doesn't win your championship?
Yeah, exactly. The Baltimore Ravens signed tight end Dennis Pitta to a 5-year deal at estimated at $32.5 million.
Do you like that?
I like it. I like not for that money.
I like Pitta.
Pitta's I like a good Pitta. Player. But for that money.
Now you've got, look how much money is already on Flacco and Pitta.
Yeah, that's a lot of your salary cap on two
and
players.
They're not that
and he's
good
coming
together.
Off a hip injury.
It's no breeze to
Jimmy Graham. I think they're alright together. Like, Pitta was like really good in the postseason when Baltimore won their championship. But for $32.5 million, and you're trying to re-sign Eugene Monroe, who you traded two picks for in the deepest draft in a long, long time. If they don't sign Eugene Monroe, Jacksonville look like geniuses, because then they could re-sign him. And then Baltimore just look completely so foolish, because they didn't even help them get to the playoffs, because they didn't,
get
to the playoffs. Yeah?
They were bad last year. Yeah. Baltimore were bad.
So the talks with Eugene Monroe are still a long way away, according to, I think it was Ian Rappaport on Twitter. San Diego Chargers agreed to a multi-year deal with Donald Butler, the linebacker.
I like that.
I like that. That's young guy.
Weeks he'll be happy.
Yes, he will be. Patriots released safety Steve Gregory. Eh.
I liked him. I did.
I liked his name. It's a pretty cool name.
Steve Gregory.
Gregory.
That's pretty cool surname. Can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Can't be trusted. Two first names.
Just think of a cartoon character when I hear Steve Gregory. I don't know. Maybe there's a career in there for him.
He was, he wasn't anything special, but he was just that solid guy.
Yeah. Typical Belichick player.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee Titans signed running back Jackie Battle to a 1-year deal.
Does that...
I put on the page that I think he'll be a backup to Sean Green, because rumors are they really like Sean Green.
Do they get rid of Johnson now? Is he gone?
He's gone.
I don't know where he'll go, though.
Johnson will be one of the free agents to watch when free agency happens, because I'm not sure when he'll be cut, but I'm sure it'd be soon.
Mm-hmm. Or you reckon they'll try to trade him?
In the draft?
Maybe. But then he's...
If you're trading Chris Johnson and you're a team that needs a running back, what are you willing to give up for Chris Johnson in terms of a draft pick?
Well, I can't see that many running backs being drafted early in this draft. So
yeah, I keep seeing a lot of mock drafts with Carlos Hyde in the first round. I can't see a running back
going
in the
will.
First round.
No one will. They won't, especially after what happened to Trent Richardson.
I don't think, unless someone special like Adrian Peterson comes along, but then again, it's hard to judge whether someone's going to be there. But you knew AP was special.
Yeah.
What's the point? You've got so many running backs. Arian Foster went undrafted. Zach Stacey went in the fifth round. Alfred Morris went in the fifth round.
That's what you reckon? Fourth round
pick? Ballard went in the fifth round. Fourth, maybe late third.
If they, but then I don't know if anyone will want the money that they're paying that guy. Nah. They'll just cut him, I reckon.
I don't know. He's a touchy one.
Let's just leave it.
We'll leave Chris Johnson. There we go. Buffalo Bills, we talked about Bird before. They offered a monster deal to Jarius Bird. That would have made him the highest paid safety in the league, but he rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he doesn't want to play in Buffalo.
And then he keeps on saying that, you know, I'm open. I'm open to going back. It's like, you're not.
I think it's because he wants to rendezvous with Mike Pettine at the Cleveland Browns. Which, by the way, I was really impressed with Mike Pettine at the Combine.
Yeah.
His press conferences and questioning, he was really just open and honest and just straight to the point. I know I liked Rob Chudzinski, and I hate that he got fired. I like that he's an assistant at the Colts now. I think Pettine is a really good coach, and I think Bird, if you can lure Bird in there, that defense is already really, really good.
Yeah.
It could get scary good.
But what the Browns are trying to do there, how they're trying to rebuild, do they want to spend that much money on him?
They have a lot of cap money.
I know, but they're being so smart with their money right now.
Yeah.
Do they want to... Oh, I don't know.
It's tough. This
Same
is why
with,
I
like,
love
TJ Ward. I don't know
this
why...
This part
they're...
of the year.
I don't know.
Crazy. And we have Green Bay Packers cornerback Sam Shields did not get slapped with the franchise tag and will hit the market.
I like Sam Shields.
Heavily underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. He was key when they won their Super Bowl.
Yep.
Him and Tremont Williams were great.
I was hoping that Philly tried to get him last season, but
no can do.
Nope, can't win every battle.
Yeah. So I think he will attract a lot of offers. He's probably the top not the top, but Verner. Top three guy. Alteron Verner will be number one. Vontae Davis, number two at the moment. He hasn't been tagged, but
you reckon he will?
Talks with the Colts are apparently heading in the right direction.
Well, that's good.
Chuck Pagano said there was a plan in place to re-sign him, so I think not franchising tagged was a smart decision if they have a plan.
The franchise tag for a corner isn't cheap.
No, exactly. Probably the biggest news of the week, one of the biggest, was Miami Dolphins re-signed cornerback Brent Grimes. 4-year deal, worth up to $32 million, but $16 million guaranteed. So when we say that, like, he has a base salary, but if he gets a certain amount of stats, he gets rewards. Incentives. Yeah, it's an incentives-based contract.
That's great for them. Yep. He is a beast. He didn't allow one touchdown all year, and he was ranked second.
On Pro Football Focus.
Subscription required, guys.
By the way, that's not dear at all. It's like $32 for the season.
Yeah, for an entire year, and you get statistics like advanced that stats, no one else has.
It's really, really, really good. And it opens your eyes up. You look at a lot of different players and edited videos and things like that as well. So, yeah. But it's good for Miami. Which is...
Do you want to talk about Jimmy Graham for a bit?
He was next on the list.
All right.
Okay. He was franchise tagged. And it was a tight end.
Yes.
He's not happy, I don't think. He hasn't said anything. He said on Twitter that I've been tagged, and it was sort of like,
you're it. Yeah. I guess I'm it, or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
I was watching something the other day. I can't remember who. It was on the NFL Network. And they were saying that, you know, there's no way he should have gotten the wide receiver tag. And now I agree with it.
I agree too. He's a tight end.
Exactly. He's a tight end. Even though he lined up at wide receiver a third of the time.
I think it was more than that.
Oh, wait. No, he lined up at tight end a third of the time. Two-thirds of the time, he was out wide.
Yeah.
But no wide receiver would ever line up next to the tackle. Can you imagine? Can't. They wouldn't even play. They would say, no. I'm not going to get squashed.
Because they don't want the contact exactly. like that.
As a tight end, he's a Pro Bowl player. Against safeties, he's Pro Bowl caliber. If he's a wideout, he's slow. He's a slow wideout. He can jump up and get those balls in the red zone, but he is slow.
That's going to create some hostility because it's costing him about $6 million.
I know.
Just for this year, he'll get a monster deal.
No, wherever he goes, he's going to end up...
He's so young. Like, he's costing him $5 million now, but... You know what? You're going to get the deal. But there's also a little hidden twist in here. Saints will take offers for Graham if you offer 2 first-round picks.
And is he worth
opinion that? Right now. Tell me, would you give up 2 first-round picks if you're an NFL owner right now for Jimmy Graham?
100% no.
No. No, I'm 100% way. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So wait, would you give up... Okay, you don't have it, but... If the Colts did, would you give up 2 first rounders for him?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not? I'm not talking Colts. If I'm Seattle or Green Bay, I'm going to be picking at the back end of the first round every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'd give up. You've got a tight end for the next decade that is Pro Bowl caliber. You have Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson throwing in the ball. You have already an amazing offense. You can cover up a lot of holes on offense with Jimmy Graham.
But then, as soon as they trade these 2 first round picks,
they
have to sign him to this deal.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, Seattle's already, you know, pushing it. And then they're going to re-sign Sherman and Thomason, etc.
Fair enough.
They're not going to have money for that guy.
No. But you can, you could cut some players that are due a bit, you could have average wide receivers, you don't need massive names.
No. I mean, look at the Seahawks. I mean, besides Harvin, everyone else is kind of just an average guy.
Average guy, and it works for them. And I think if you add Jimmy Graham there, I'm not sure. I just think if Baltimore can get away with paying Joe Flacco a lot of money, Jimmy Graham is infinitely better.
Guys, I hate Flacco. We don't hate him. He's overrated.
And dull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a boring guy.
Yeah, if Flacco was on this podcast, he'd be asleep. Yeah, but Jimmy Graham is definitely an interesting
development.
Yeah, it's definitely one to keep an eye on. He's over in Afghanistan.
I mean, I have no doubt people will make offers for him. I don't know if it'll be two first round
they'll
picks.
They'll inquire.
But
I would love to have Jimmy Graham. I'd love to have my quarterback throwing Jimmy Graham the ball.
That'd be great.
In the red zone, I don't think there's anyone better.
No.
Like, Gronk is better, but, like, in the red zone, I think.
Oh, I like Marshall. Marshall is pretty good.
Yeah, but Gronk's always injured, so, yeah. More news. 2013 NFL MVP and five-time NFL MVP Peyton Manning passed a medical on his neck and will play this season.
Mm-hmm.
Good news for Broncos fans and NFL fans, I guess, that another year with Peyton Manning playing quarterback is, you know, good to watch.
What were they thinking was going to be wrong with Peyton Manning?
I think it's just the medical he gets at the air. Like, that's part of his contract. He has to get an examination on his neck to see if there's any sort of disc damage or any wear and tear on the neck. And he passed it.
If they were without him,
it would get ugly.
That's bring Tebow back. Tebow.
Tebow.
Tebow time.
I saw a stat on ESPN today that Peyton Manning's passing percentage has actually increased since having four neck surgeries than before in his career. But then again, bigger sample size, like, that's over more years. But still.
But then again,
to have four neck surgeries and then complete, like, nearly 70% of your passes on a season. Over two seasons.
Do you think this season gets better, or they...
I think they step back a little bit on offense, but I think they're really going to address their defense.
They blew it. They blew it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they did. And all, to be fair, I don't think any team...
No team would have beat
Seattle. No team ever. Not even, like, one of the best teams ever was the Patriots. Even when they lost the Super Bowl to the Giants, but that they went 16-0 before they lost that. Even that team would not have beaten Seattle. Even the Dolphins that went undefeated.
Yeah.
Maybe. Don't know. Different era, I guess. But more news. Move on. Wide receiver Anquan Boldin. 2-year extension with the 49ers.
That's
you
good.
Like it?
I do. He's
like
solid.
It.
He's just
he
consistent.
He is like a fine wine. And he's the type of guy that I think can keep playing for another few years, despite his age. And he had over 1,000 receiving yards last year.
Fantasy owners, they loved him the first round.
Yeah, they slumped off for three or four weeks.
They thought, oh, what? Yep. And then bounced back. So if you kept with him,
yep,
good job, guys.
Washington Redskins placed the franchise tag on linebacker Brian Arakpo.
I thought he was gone. I really did. I thought they were going to release him.
I always thought they were going to keep him.
Really?
Yeah, man. He's the heart and soul of that defense.
No, I'm not saying that he wasn't. Yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, it always comes a time. Same as the struggles with DeMarcus Ware in Dallas right now.
Yeah, that's...
They want him to take a pay cut where, you know, I don't know if he... Yeah. When he's on the field, he performs.
Yep.
But the injury concerns is...
Yeah, it is.
That's what's getting him.
That's it. Bernard Pollard... Safety Bernard Pollard re-signed with the Titans. Yeah, not
average,
much to say about
average
that.
Average news.
Except he loves injuring players. He is. You look up ACL. Type in ACL and Bernard Pollard on Google. You'll be surprised how many people he has, like, ended seasons for.
It's a rough guy.
It's he plays tough. Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers. They placed the transition tag on both Alex Mack and Jason Warlords, respectively.
Alex Mack, you wanted him, huh?
I did. It's transition tag, so it means that he can still hit the market, but before he can sign anywhere, that the Cleveland Browns will, or Pittsburgh Steelers with Warlords, have a chance to match the offer.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Then still a chance.
It kind of scares off suitors. It's like...
Yeah. It's sort of like a... You know when you're trying to get to the fridge when the door's closing? And you get to a point where it's too shut to even try and get your hand in there because,
like,
you know you're going to get your jam your fingers.
Do you want to hold the elevator door open?
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's that sort of tiny little thing where if you're really, really good, you can get that door back open. But 90% of the people, door's closed. So
Alex Mack is inside that.
Alex Mack and Jason Warlords are inside that elevator.
Well,
and
I like both of them. They're great.
Yeah.
Especially... Warlords, I don't know.
Yeah.
He really stepped it up last year. I mean, they thought he was going to be a bust for the first 2 years, and then finally. Breakout season last year.
Yep. All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers unveiled brand new jerseys for 2014. Do you like them?
I like the helmet. The kit, I'm not so sure about. Sometimes I see it on a player and I think, you know what, that looks pretty sharp.
I like it a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
What do you like about it?
I don't know. I'm looking at the photo of Doug Martin right now.
I like the Doug Martin state of the art
laptop here. I love it.
I like the Doug Martin.
And the Gerald McCoy one was good too.
Yeah, that's a bit.
Maybe because I like Gerald McCoy. But no, I just think it looks pretty cool. It's simple, you know, I like it.
Yeah, but what about the numbers? The numbers.
The numbers I don't like. They look like scoreboard numbers, you know?
They look a bit weird.
Yeah, the fact that they're red ones as well sort of makes it look like a scoreboard a little bit. But yeah.
There's been lately on a number of websites people redesigning
jerseys and logos. And
I hope the NFL is taking notice because, I mean, some of them are horrible and they should just, you know, wipe away with. But there was one release the other day which I find incredible where they've mashed the Philadelphia and Oregon jersey together.
Yeah, I saw that one. It looked amazing. Yeah. Just some news from today. Pittsburgh restructured Troy Polamalu and Heath Miller's contract. Good. That saved them cap money and ensured Polamalu stayed with the side. Which I think is fantastic because he has just played his guts out for that team.
And we need more Head and Shoulders commercials.
Yes, I love those commercials. I like Troy Polamalu.
Even though they're getting old, they're still...
Is there anyone better than Polamalu at guessing the the snap count and jumping, leaping over defenders to sack quarterbacks?
The amount of times I've seen 4th and inches and they think, you know what, we've got this. And Polamalu just... guesses it perfectly and stops it. Yeah.
It's nuts. I just got sent a tweet here. Again, on my state-of-the-art laptop here. That looks fresh out of 1980. Adrian Peterson just tweeted, at Mike Vick would intently, I think he means instantly, but would make the Vikings a playoff team. Do you agree?
I don't think...
It's tough because I think Mike Vick would make
Minnesota better. They would make him better,
but
no doubt.
Look at their division.
I know.
They're not making playoffs.
But they're the pieces around Michael Vick. No. Mm. I mean,
I like Cordell Patterson and Adrian Peterson. And again, the draft is deep with wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get back to that. And they could easily get one or two pieces there. But I just think they have too many holes to make the playoffs. But Mike Vick, I did say this last week, sort of a free agent guy there at Minnesota. Yeah. Michael Vick makes sense.
I mean, I'm still a fan of Michael Vick. He still plays...
I'm not a fan of Michael Vick. not since the incident.
He can still make plays happen, and I still think he's better than Freeman, etc.
Ponda, Castle, etc.
Exactly. They're all great backups, but... Yep. I don't know. I think you need to start fresh, give a guy a chance, build around him.
Yep.
I mean, he's not going to take you to the playoffs. Get someone young, get someone on a rookie contract, and then start fresh.
That's it. All right, we'll go back to Combine. I told you who I liked the most, Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Who impressed you the most? I'm going to have a guess here and say Jadeveon Clowney.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. No.
Still... the guy who impressed me the most was Greg Robinson.
Greg, yes?
I love Greg Robinson. I mean, I hope, depending whether the Rams trade out of two, which we think they will, if someone trades up to take that spot to either get a quarterback or Clowney, whether he's drafted by the Texans first or not.
Yeah.
I think if the Rams get Greg Robinson, great pickup. I think he's better than Jake Matthews. He's just so athletic. It's just...
In the national championship game, Trey Mason had a big game.
Mm-hmm.
You watch Trey Mason's tape, all you see is Greg Robinson just...
blocking for him?
Pancaking.
Yeah.
Flattening people. He's so aggressive.
And he
When he gets out, he ran his... Yeah, he's all right. He's 6'5" and weighs 332 pounds. He's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
He ran 4.92 in the 40. That's... not even, like, science, you know? They're not supposed to run that fast.
They thought it was a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah, he was like, even Taylor Luan, who's like, he had a faster 40 time just, but he's like 30 pounds lighter than him.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's never really a speed, like, you never run 40 yards, you know what I mean? But it's just...
I had a conversation with a guy about that. He's like, I don't understand why the 40 is such a big deal. But I guess it's more showing their speed over the first, like, 10 to 15, but then also that they have the stamina to keep up that pace.
Exactly.
Because you're going to be running a lot of 10s every game.
Or I mean, fives. The O-line and D-line are constantly just running 2-3 yards at each other.
Just moving,
yeah.
And it's a lot of high-intensity pace as well.
But during the combine, they were saying how fast Robertson got off the blocks anyway.
Yep.
So, I mean, he looks the goods. He just impresses me.
Another guy that really impressed me was Justin Gilbert, the corner. He's quick. He is 6 foot.
I think he...
He's quick. 4.37 in the 40.
He separated himself from Denard.
Yeah, I think he's clearly the number one corner.
Yeah. Who takes him?
You need the pace. I had him at
Detroit
Lions, in my mock, but... Mike Evans performed really, really well at the combine as well, and the Lions have been begging for someone to be opposite Calvin Johnson for years.
Do you think they pick up someone in free agency?
People are saying Decker to Lions. Like, I predicted free agency two parts on theraw.com, and just click on other sports and you'll find it. And a guy kept commenting about Decker and the Lions, and I'm thinking, you're paying Calvin Johnson so much money, why would you then pay Eric Decker $10 million a year to just be the other guy?
I know.
Across from Johnson.
But then again...
You need someone decent, but you need someone not... They have a lot of holes they need to fix, and they don't have much cap money. The rookie contract is good. The wide receiver class is deep. You draft the guy opposite, you don't touch a thing in free agency.
So then again, Do they try to get Sam Shields? Do they try to get Verner? But these guys cost a lot of money too.
They do. But I would rather spend money on Sam Shields and Alto and Verner if I'm Detroit Lions and then draft someone in the second round.
I always like veteran corners.
Yeah.
I do. Then again, ever since Philly picked up Asamoah.
Yeah.
2 seasons he's retired.
Yeah. So, I just think, it's just... Seems a bit pricey for me, and I think Gilbert at 10, why not? I think that's great, and you could get someone that slides down into the second round, like someone, Paul Richardson, wide receiver, or Jarvis Landry from LSU. There's so many wide receivers, there's going to be one or two that slides down.
Do you like Khalil Mack better than Anthony Barr?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You're with the hype?
Yeah, I am following the hype. When Mike Mayock says that Khalil Mack's the number one guy on his draft board, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch tape and I'm going to look at his combine. And he did Mike Mayock proud. I think he showed him. Like, he is an elite talent. And
those who don't know who Mike Mayock is, like the draft expert.
He's the draft guru for NFL Network. So there's a few draft guys, if you want to follow the draft and start to get into it. There's a few guys, Mike Mayock could be one, Mel Kiper on ESPN's considered the guru, he's got crazy hair, Matt Miller from Bleach Report's pretty good, and there's a website called Walter Football, heavily inconsistent at times, but...
changes daily.
They do mock drafts a lot, so there's always content to read, and they have a lot of rumors. Not so much rumors, but they have little quotes from like different reporters and beat writers and GMs. So that sort of allude to where you think a team's going to address in the draft. And I thought with the Colts not having a first round pick, I wouldn't be as into it.
Not be silly.
But this year, like, I watched a lot more college football, and I watched a lot more footage of players and highlight videos on YouTube, and I just...
Do you see possibly the Colts trying to trade up?
No. I'm just praying, I was praying that a wide receiver who's considered a top talent had sort of a bad combine and just sort of fell, but someone like Jordan Matthews...
Yep.
And he had a great combine. So, he really impressed. And now I'm just like, are you serious? Come on, man. Like, Stop falling. You know? rising. I want you to fall. Any other combine stuff? I thought it was interesting, running back Dre Archer from Kent State. I'd never heard of him, to be honest. He nearly beat Chris Johnson's 40 time. He was 0.03 off beating it.
They even Chris Johnson said, he tweeted that he was like sweating.
Yeah, he was worried.
He was worried his record was gone.
Yeah.
Guys, by the way, you try to run the 40, see how fast you get. That is ridiculous how fast they can run.
Me and Josh did a combine and he beat me in every single facet. But I think I got him covered in the Wonderlic test, so see how we go.
We'll see this.
Yeah.
If this was true and we did any of that.
No, it's true. They don't know that, man. Clemson, everyone's talking about Sammy Watkins. He was impressive.
Yep,
we all know that. But the guy opposite him last year, he's starting to rise up draft boards. Martavius Bryant. I saw some footage on ESPN earlier today, and he's 6'4", and he clocked 4.42 and a 39-inch vertical. These are just stats for people, but basically he's big and he's fast and he can jump.
Yeah.
And if you watched any of the Bears this year, you saw that Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, if you're like even remotely like a little bit fast and you can leap up over a corner, you've got a chance. And that's why Seattle was so successful, because their corners were big guys. And that's why a lot of bigger corners are now starting to rise up the draft board. There is plenty there. Keith McGill is a guy that keeps rising up draft boards. He's a 6'3 corner.
The other corner, Roby.
Yeah.
They were saying that, you know,
played for Ohio State.
Yep. And he had an average 2013.
Yes.
But then he had a good 2012.
2012, he was considered a top 10 pick.
And then they thought, you know what, this guy maybe not. And then he came out to the combine.
Yeah.
And, you know,
really impressed. Up. And he's gone up a lot of people's rankings.
Then again, though, when you... NFL has a ranking system. They give them a score out of 10. Yep. I mean, it's always a bit, you know, you look at it and you think, how can that person be a 9 and the next person be an 8?
Yeah.
But Roby's still he's got a rating of 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a risk. It's like, I don't know. And some mock drafts, they've got him going to Philly, and I'm not happy with that.
No?
I want them to, depending on if they, you know, take a safety
or not. I heard Darkeese Dennard going to Philly.
I don't think he'll drop there. I think
there you go. Bradley Roby moved up to number 4 in after the combine in Mike Mayock's cornerback rankings, but he has Dennard still in front of Gilbert. He really likes Darkeese Dennard's tape. With Gilbert, I think you have a kick returner. That guy's quick. That guy's fast. He's sort of another dimension. But then again, the prime reason you're drafting a corner is coverage.
Yeah. But then again, Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, what a freak. One of the best athletes in the NFL, can do anything. Alright, we've talked about the combine. Any more players before we wrap it up? Or little nuggets? No.
Combine not really. Nuggets. I mean, it's come out this week that apparently the Browns aren't looking to pick a quarterback with their first pick.
I've updated my mock draft accordingly.
No quarterback going there. No. I mean, this is all just, you know, talk as well. It's gotta...
Yeah.
But Derek Carr looks like the guy. They were talking about Derek Carr before, anyway. The rumors were coming out about him.
You mentioned that in the last show.
Yeah, he could slip down to them, so you're right.
I think, when you said that last podcast, Derek Carr, I thought you meant at number 4, and I was no straight away.
No.
I don't see him as a top 10, top 15 talent at all. But then again, when you need a quarterback, sometimes you have to, you know, take a punt. Look at EJ Manuel last year. Buffalo were desperate.
Mm-hmm. And,
they might have... It's a tough one. Again, look at all the quarterbacks from that draft. None have really taken a step forward. But you know what? They've got some good coaches there. Quarterback coaches there. EJ Manuel might sort of show everyone why he had an injury plagued season. But I think Derek Carr at 23 or 26.
It's the Colts pick.
I think that's brilliant. If you can land Sammy Watkins at 4 and Derek Carr, and you got him throwing the ball to Josh Gordon and Sammy Watkins and Jordan Cameron, you just got to pick up a Ben Tate or a Joik Bell.
Ben Tate will go to the Browns.
Yeah.
That, he'll just go there. It's, he'll go there. It's perfect for him.
He'll go there.
The another thing, they're talking about the Bucks lately.
Yep.
Glennon took over from Josh Freeman last year.
Yep.
In their spanking new uniforms. Do you think they still pick up a quarterback with their pick?
It's interesting. I was listening to Around the League podcast through the NFL today, and they were talking about Mike Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned EJ Manuel as well, talking about whether you... Do you waste a year with Glennon, or do you take... Or is Glennon in the same sort of category as Bortles?
It's tough, hey?
If Glennon was entering the draft again this year, after you've seen him play, would you still...
I'm not the biggest fan of him. I was kind of watching him, and it was kind of like throw along to Vincent Jackson.
Yeah.
And Vincent Jackson, he's known for making things happen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, I don't know. The thing is that will Teddy Bridgewater fall to them?
Yeah.
Then if Teddy Bridgewater does, he's the most NFL ready.
I think if this is going to sound so strange, if you're Tampa Bay. The only quarterback I would consider taking at 7 is Bridgewater. If Manziel or Bortles fell, I don't think that he fits in there. They fit in there.
Okay.
I mean, for some reason, anyway. I don't know. I see Bridgewater as sort of Josh Freeman-esque. That's probably why I see him fitting in at Tampa. Yep. He's just sort of that type of player. And I think, but he doesn't have the issues that Josh Freeman has, or we hope not. Yeah, I just think that would...
And then this is all just hearsay, because all these players could be gone by pick 4.
Exactly. First 4 picks could be 3 quarterbacks and Clowney.
Yeah.
So, it's just mere speculation. But that's why I love drafts.
Mm-hmm.
The strategy in it is amazing. If you want to see an inside scoop to drafts, there's going to be a really bad movie out this year called Draft Day with a really, really great actor. I wish you could see how sarcastic my face is looking right now. Kevin Costner.
It's sarcastic right now.
It is very sarcastic. I've got that sarcastic face on.
A weird voice, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch that. It gives you an insight into the strategy and all that. It is sensationalized a lot, but, you know, it's still good. But then again, Moneyball was...
They've been saying how deep this draft is, the deepest in decades.
Yeah. Or a decade.
A decade. But then they're saying that they're, you know, they'll be the, you know, least amount of trades they've had in years and years and years and years, because, you know, instead of trading up to get this guy,
just wait.
That'll happen. There will be trades.
There's always trades.
I mean, Atlanta.
But there'll be people looking to trade down, but no one will be willing to trade up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is going to become a problem, because people then might say, you know what? It'll get confusing. It'll get real confusing.
Because people will go, I don't rate him at 20. If I can draft down to 25, I'll take him there.
Yeah.
But then even if he's gone by then, I like this guy at 25. But if no one wants to trade up with you to sort of snare someone else, you're going to have to take a guy that you think's valuable at another point in the draft. You have to take a punt early. Or you're going to say, oh, this guy's the best player available. I'm going to have to take him. But even though you don't like him or fit in his scheme.
But the that's when GMs have to learn. Yeah. They have to learn from past experience. I mean, there's some new GMs out there now, but they have to learn from their mistakes. They can't reach. And, like, you know, an example is, like, Philly reaching up to get Jaquan Jarrett the other year.
Yep.
Failure. Giant bust. Sammy Watkins.
Who are you thinking of?
Philly's guard, Watkins. It was Watkins as well.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
First round pick, we reached out to get him. Bow. Now he's a backup of the Dolphins.
There's a lot of players that have been drafted. Jamarcus Russell was one that comes to mind when I think of draft busts.
That story is still continuing as well.
He's still around.
He's still trying to get fit, guys.
Yeah. There's an option for Minnesota, maybe. Why not?
Or you can just go back to the Raiders.
Yeah, you could do that. Right, well, before we wrap it up, we'll go back to NRL just quickly before we wrap it up. Let's just go through the games this week and just pick who we think's going to win.
Yep, don't mind that.
Just quickly and see how we go for the first round.
All
right. As NRL guys, considering we're NFL, more NFL-based. tonight's game, I already told you, Roosters 28-14.
We picking scores?
Nah, we're just... what do you reckon?
Roosters? Yeah.
Got the Bulldogs and the Broncos.
I think they will be out to kill Benny Barber. They will...
Oh, I forgot about that little scenario. That's crazy, right? The
Bulldogs have got this. It's at the Bulldogs.
That's true. I'm going to go Broncos.
It's very confusing, as in America, it's always the second team that is the home team.
Yeah, because it's Bulldogs at
Broncos. At the Broncos, where here it's...
I like that. At whoever it's playing, at the home ground. I prefer that.
It's difficult, though, to get used to.
It is, the change, especially for tipping and betting.
Yeah.
Panthers, Knights.
We'll go with Penrith.
Yeah, Jared Mullen's out. Yeah. I'll go with Penrith. Sea Eagles v Storm.
Without Cooper Cronk, I think it's Manly's game.
It is Manly's game, I agree. Is that when Brookie? When you're starting Ben Roberts, it is that Brookie.
We're huge Ben Roberts fans here on the show.
If you have any Ben Roberts jokes, please tweet them to us at Weird and Why. I would really appreciate it. Cowboys Raiders. It's probably the bet of the round, Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, Raiders, they look like they're going
to
struggle.
I said it last show. Ricky Stewart, back-to-back wooden spoons.
I mean, that'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
I like the Raiders, though, which it pains me.
Yeah.
I like the Raiders don't like Stewart anymore.
Yeah. This is probably the game of the round. Blockbuster battle. It's going to be so entertaining. It's just bundles of fun. Dragons v. West Tigers. May as well be Oakland versus Jacksonville.
Which was... I actually watched that game. It was the worst thing I've ever
shaking
watched.
My head.
That's a tough one.
It is. The bookies can't split them. $1.90 each. Take your pick. Flip a coin.
Where are they playing?
I'm going to go with Tigers because Benji's gone. Just to rub salt into the wounds of Benji, who's been benched, by the way, at Rugby Union.
He's already been benched?
Yeah. He started last week on the bench.
That's embarrassing.
I think it's great. Because for me, we're Westies. We're born in the Western suburbs. But for me, Benji's been living off one flick pass from 2005. He's been living off that for, what are we in now, 2014?
Yep.
Till about 2013, he was living off that pass.
I'm not saying he's a horrible player. It's just, you know...
I think he's one of the most overrated players ever.
Besides break the nest up.
He's a great player, but the hype that he received, I always found him overrated.
Yep.
That was probably Ray Warren's fault, because he really is a big Benji Marshall fan, and he just kept raving.
And he just, and raving, as Raider, he's raving.
Yeah.
He loves his razzle-dazzle football, so...
Yeah,
I mean,
he does. He's a big fan of that.
Oh, well, I'll go Dragons on him.
The Eels and the Warriors.
It's Paris to lose, isn't it? I think they have a decent year. It's tough. Arthur's come in, done a pretty decent job.
I mean, like the direction that Brad Arthur's showing. The lineup, he picked a lot of new players and young players, especially the wingers. Has faith in the two young guys, by Tortai and Semi Redrada, over, say, Ken Sio or Ryan Morgan. I think he's gone with big guys that he thinks that can defend better. He was great defensive coach at Manly. And I like the direction he's heading. And he's not a big name as well. He's not going to attract all that Ricky Stewart-esque type of hype.
It's good.
It's
very
just
good.
Like an under-the-radar signing that could be...
It's what Parra needed.
Yeah.
And I think...
What Parra needed 3 years ago.
I think Nathan Peets will be the...
Signing of the year?
Well, for Parra anyway.
Yeah. I think he could be close to the signing of the year. Maybe Sam Tompkins.
He was always in the shadow of Isaac Luke.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he's got his chance to shine in a team that's wanted a hooker, like a good, decent hooker. Matt Keating.
Great in defence. Yeah, that's about it. But I found when the forwards were running off him, they were always one or two steps behind.
They never knew where he was going.
It sort of looked, rigid.
We would go to the game, would be watching, we would be intently looking at what Keating did next, and he was looking at the sideline where the players were lining up, and the ball was already passing.
It was sort of like he was a quarterback looking for his coach for the play, except there's no stoppages. Like, you're waiting for the ball to be played, but you're not calling hut.
He could be a great quarterback. Who knows?
Could have a good arm. Keating, give me a ring.
It's pretty small.
Your wife hates me, but give me a ring. Sharks, Titans. Oh, by the way, we both picked the Warriors.
No, I'm going Para.
I'm going Warriors.
I think okay. Para win.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of my blue and yellow eyes, and I'm going to go with the Warriors.
I mean, they do look scary.
Yeah, they're scary good. Sharks and Titans.
I like the Titans.
No, Todd Carney.
That's a bit sketchy. I mean, Luke Lewis is still out. Yeah, they're true. All they're, you know, they're a bit.
Albert Kelly's suspect too. So I'm going to go Cronulla.
Cronulla.
Just on Cronulla, we're going to wrap it up here. Asada, Cronulla. I studied Asada in my sports law course. How someone can run an investigation on drugs in sport in Australia, in NFL and NRL, and not interview the main suspect who was at both Essendon and Cronulla baffles me. How do you not interview Stephen Dank? How? It's and then you fine Cronulla $1 million, you sack Flanagan for a year, right, for things that happened in 2011,
mm-hmm.
when they weren't even a banned substance in 2011.
Yep.
The damage has been done. What's the point of naming and shaming your players? If they're not on the peptides now, what difference does it make? They finished third last. It's done. It's not like they were world beaters and won a comp.
I know.
Yeah?
It wasn't like the whole Melbourne Storm.
This Asada Darkest Day in Sport press conference that happened like a year and a half ago was a political move to get heat off the current Prime Minister. And it has just dragged on and it's just so frustrating. And the person I feel sorry for the most out of all this... Sandor L.
Oh.
For the guy. He admitted to being it, and he was a bit of a cocky guy on the television, and, you know, I'm so attractive and all that. Put that aside, this is the young man that owned up to it, took the nail on the head, and now he's been labelled a drug cheat, a drug trafficker, because he took peptides because a coach told him that it would help his injury quick and faster. You know, like, and now he's out. His rugby league career is practically gone because by the time he gets back, I think the prime of his career is over.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now the poster boy for this drugs
which is in just, sports which scandal. Is wrong.
It's wrong.
I know.
And they still haven't found...
They didn't really do much.
They haven't... Nothing's been done. And
then Flanagan gets in trouble for just watching. Again. Watching from
watching
the stands.
Watching his own son play. This is... I said this on Twitter. I had a good conversation with a fellow at Davosar,
mm-hmm.
and I said to him that the NFL, I keep bringing up the NFL, I know, but it's just a really well-run league. Like, mm-hmm. it is the benchmark in terms of sporting leagues of administration. They're not linked to WADA at all. They do their own drugs policy and policing.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own drugs sort of thing, and I know it's sort of... backfired a bit today because Brandon Browner got his sort of appeal. Yeah, he's still got to serve a suspension and all that. But at least, like, there's no one else to blame but the NFL, and they can do their own stuff. They don't have to bow down to bureaucracy and politics in terms of Asada and the government and stuff like that.
Yep.
It'll be wider over there because Asada is the Australian brand.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, why can't the NRL do their own drugs policy? Enforce it? It might cost them a bit more, but you don't have all this crap hanging over the game.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
It's something that the NRL probably won't change.
No, it won't.
But they have
to. Like, I understand, like, because drugs, no one wants drug cheats. No one wants it. But I need to draw the line somewhere. This stuff's just every day. It's doing my head in. Yeah. Sick of hearing about it.
No.
It's opening night of NRL, and we had a press conference about Shane Flanagan being... sacked.
That and Chappelle Corby just dominating the news right now. We're not going into that.
We need a whole another hour on Chappelle Corby.
No one needs any more Chappelle
Corby. No one needs Chappelle Corby. Alright, well, that's wrapping it up for today. Next show, when are we filming that one?
We'll probably do, not a review, but we'll look back at this week's
first week. Election. First week's always sort of an indicator of how good a season's going to be for a team. Maybe we'll do a segment, round one, overreactions. So, there's going to be an upset somewhere, and you know, the Titans will beat Cronulla, and it's the Titans that are going to win the comp.
And there's always, you know, that one big injury or two in the first round.
Yeah, and some guy scoring three tries, and he's the next fantasy superstar.
Yep.
So we'll do round one overreactions.
And we could give fantasy advice. That's a good thing.
Free agency starts on Tuesday, so we'll probably have the first. We'll probably be filming on Wednesday. So we'll have the first...
Filming.
We're going to film us doing this. And you can see we both have heads for podcasts. And, we'll review the first 2 days of free agency.
TJ Ward, Philly.
All right. We're going to leave on that. All right, we'll close out. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening. As always, follow me on Twitter at Josh Y.
And me at Josh Woot.
Like us on Facebook, Woot and Y. And like us on Twitter at Woot and Y. If you want to email us... WootandY@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's us.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Ice up, son. Ice up.